Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourself. You are about to get notified.
KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.
The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents.
Well, there you have it. Hello and good morning, good afternoon, good night. Wherever you are in the world, you are listening to Get Notified here on KUCI. And this is Ryan Folland, also known as the DJ Ginger MC. And we have some special guests here today. Now, the show focuses on how we get you notified about best practices in social media, and it all comes back to that good old thing called communication. So our guest today literally has a craft, and he's an artisan that is pretty much as far away from electric or technology as possible. We're talking about hot, molten, liquid lava with very manly, big, heavy tools and sharp things at the end of the day. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome Tucker Paris and his other half, Jenna Paris, to the show, and we'll do a virtual round of applause. So wherever you're at, unless you're driving, go ahead and give a round of applause. Yay! All right, well, welcome to the show, guys. How are we doing today?
We're doing great. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Jana is an employee here at UCI, and she helps to raise the big funds, which makes everything happen. And we were talking in conversation, and it randomly came up that her husband was not only an entrepreneur, but a veteran, and was dealing with making his own knives. I'm like, if you could pick three things that I'm excited about, you've packaged them together. We need you on the radio show. So here we are. So thank you for helping to arrange this, Miss Jana.
You're welcome. And I'll add another fourth item. He's also an UCI employee, so he's an anteater also.
Oh, well, this is all anteaters in the family. Very cool. All right, so every anteater has a backstory. Now, Tucker, what is your backstory?
Well, like you said, I'm a Navy veteran. I was injured in the Navy. I broke my back and my neck, and I still ended up continuing on to be a rescue swimmer. And as a treatment for my back and neck injury, I really had to focus on other things away from the pain. So in order to do that, I put myself into obscure hobbies that I really enjoyed.
Like a cooking class.
A cooking class would be one of them, but more specifically for me would be blacksmithing.
Yes. I see. I didn't even know there were classes for that. Now, I know there's cooking classes, but if you would have told me that there was a blacksmith class, I think I'd be all over it. So how did you even find out about that?
So I took a welding class at OCC.
Okay.
And they had a educational program or weekends program for just the community.
Okay.
And it was just a general blacksmithing class.
Very cool.
And so I did that. And that led me to another organization, which was the Heritage Museum of Orange County. And they have they're attached to a blacksmith guild. And so I volunteer there monthly, and we do seminars and lessons, and we run an open shop. And so anyone in the community can come in, and for a menial fee to cover fuel and expense, can actually learn the craft of blacksmithing.
Now, where is this? Because I'm interested now. I mean, I don't know if we're going to talk about you anymore. We're going to talk about blacksmithing, but that is you. So where is this?
This is in Santa Ana.
Okay.
It's over off Fairview and Harvard.
Okay. Well, cool. So you've got this class now that is helping to distract you from the pain, the real pain. And thank you for your service, man.
Thanks.
Much appreciated. A lot of respect for military folks. I love helping as much as I can. I go down to Camp Pendleton, talk, try to bring my ammunition, which is communication. And so run communication courses down there for those guys and gals. So you're distracted, but in a cool way. What, like, do you just decide to make knives, or is that a starting point?
You know, that was almost a finishing point for me, because knife making, it seems like it's simple. You're making a flat object, but there's a lot of geometry involved. And when we're working with metal, a nice thick piece of metal is easy to work with. But when you get thinner and thinner and skinnier and longer, all of a sudden you introduce all these other properties of warpage and shrinkage and cracking. So it ended up being one of the higher ends of blacksmithing. And so I worked my way slowly towards it. But I had always had the goal of making knives because ever since a child, I've always been fascinated with sharp objects.
Nice. Now, you're talking to a guy who has a knife collection as well. And I grew up here in Orange County, but every summer we would go to Catalina. Oh, and cool. So I would spend 3 months on a boat in Catalina. And we would go to this sort of beach that basically has the nuts and bolts, like barbecue and benches and a hut. And so, you know, I was a construction agent back in the day and built my own treehouse. It was a very hands-on experience. So every year I was able to basically get a new knife. And it'd be a pocket knife because by the end of the summer, I mean, it was cutting rocks, it was cutting trees, like it would be done. So it became this tradition. Every year I'd get a new knife. And it's just created this fascination. So I've got, you know, an actual sword. My grandfather served in the Navy, and it's like I'll just sometimes get the sword out and just like if I have a couch that's done, I'll like stab the couch and then give it away. Well, that was in Santa Barbara, and we then light it on fire, but that's a whole different story. So I think most boys have a fascination with sharp things.
Janet, sharp things and fire.
Yeah. Well, Janet, from a girl's perspective, have you been into knives or sharp things or fire?
No, only for cooking. Fire, yes, because it's bright and shiny.
Okay, bright and shiny object. All right, and so the reason I'm so excited today, not only because we're talking about knives, is you wouldn't naturally think that somebody who forges knives as a blacksmith is online, just in a general sense. And I think that to our audience members, we have some that are really good at social media, want to get better. People that hate social media with a passion, they just don't want anything to do with it. And some that are like on the fence, they're confused, right? So this is a great opportunity to speak to those people who maybe are on the fence or they get confused, they don't like it because of the digital nature. But we're taking a physical product that has all kinds of blood, sweat, and tears put into it, and you've had a lot of success and you have continued success on this thing called social media. So what is your platform and how did you go from an offline product to traction online?
My platform of choice is Instagram because it's very visual and my product is very visual. I get a show behind the scenes. I get a show fire. Instagram lets you do short videos. So there's...
What's the length up to now on the videos?
Up to a minute.
Up to a minute, okay.
So there's a lot of story that can be told in a minute.
Yeah.
When I first started Instagram, I believe it was 15 seconds.
Right.
And I was editing everything really down to right. short clips. But now I can tell a full story. I can cut everything together so you can see how a knife is being made, or I can use time-lapse sections and so on. But I chose Instagram because it was very easy for me to do. I have a phone in my hand. I can click a picture, post it really quickly, do a couple edits, and frame it how I want it and represent myself very easily. But I think there's a very important part of going to social media for a maker, and that's that you don't want to make yourself look too much like a business. And this is where I see a lot of new makers make a mistake. They end up doing separate accounts. One personal account and then one business account.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
I have a friend who does this. He's a new woodworker and he's just getting into it. And he's got his own account and then he's got Wood by Colin. And he does a lot of great stuff. But as I was telling him, and I would preach to your listeners here, that we're not really big business and we're not really selling mass products very quickly. So if we're not posting products daily that are getting a lot of traction, we're not generating an audience and it's not authentic. And that's the big key, is authenticity. And so instead, I don't make a knife every day. I can't post knife pictures every day.
Right, right.
But I can post a picture of my cat. And whether it's like knives and cats.
What's the cat's name? Janice just lit up.
Oh, the cat's name is Louie.
Louie, okay.
And it's...
Lucifer.
I was going to say, was that the full name? Because sometimes cats will have like full names, right? Okay, Lucifer. Is it really the devil cat?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
But I'll post a picture of my cat or a bike ride or what we're doing on the weekend or what I'm doing in the machine shop here at UCI. I believe that all of those pictures and all of those personal touches make for a lot better connection with people than it does if you're just trying to show only your business aspect or your hobby aspect.
So going to Instagram and then combining your personal and your business account has worked for you. So you take off the pressure of doing something every day. So for my Instagram account, I do a stick figure drawing every day. But that's something I can pull off every day. It's still difficult, but it's there. And then sometimes I'll sneak in behind the scenes or a selfie on stage or something like that. But I would just go mad if I had two Instagram accounts. And I almost go mad because I've got Instagram and Facebook and I love Twitter and then all these other things. So are you just on Instagram then, or?
I've had to expand. I chose to be mainly on Instagram, but I expanded also to Facebook because I had to go after the older market that was also buying some of my knives.
Gotcha.
And so there is an age differentiation between different platforms. You're going to find a lot of the ages on Twitter because it's so condensed and it's very widespread. You're going to find a little younger generations on the Instagram and Snapchat and a little more fleeting. And then you're going to find the older generation is starting to come around to the idea of the Facebook.
Right.
And so there, I had to expand to Facebook to capture part of that constituent.
Sure. So it's not about just being on one platform. It's fine to be on multiple platforms. But I like the fact that you didn't split the hairs on the platform. And on Facebook, I'm assuming you have one. Is it your personal and business? How do you deal with that transition? And do you know about the business Facebook versus personal Facebook versus public profile? Do you want to give people a lowdown on how that works?
Yeah, that's a little confusing. So
it is, right? I mean, come on, Facebook. And the other thing that pisses me off about Facebook is that if I have my own personal account and I'm helping to run a university account or something, it all meshes together. Like, couldn't you just let me see it all together? Because people are liking different stuff and it just confuses me. So hashtag Facebook, make it simple. Thanks. Okay. So explain the confusion, right?
So part of the confusion is the way they want to run ad revenue. And so the way they're trying to seek out ad revenue is partial of that separation. In my opinion, it's too separated. And so even when I just recently switched my account on Instagram from a personal account to a business account because they offer you different metrics.
Insights and stuff, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and I don't think a lot of people know that. This is pretty recent.
Right, it is.
But it's still your personal account. It being a quote-unquote business just lets you see how many impressions are on the posts, how many people click through the engagement and stuff like that. Because they're probably setting us up for spending more money eventually.
But here's the key. Now, if you link it to your Facebook account, it won't link to your personal Facebook account anymore.
Oh.
It'll only link to a business page.
Oh, so they get you from the... Right.
So now I have to double post things if I feel that they're valuable enough to both groups.
Okay.
So I have, instead of just hitting post all and it posts to both groups, and it can also post to Twitter. I just don't use Twitter as much.
We won't hold that against you. You've got enough stuff going for you. You got the fire, the sharp knives, the military, all that stuff. So you're... Well, let you slide on that one.
I do have a Twitter.
That's good. That's good.
It's just inactive.
Well, real quick, while we're on the topic of just these social platforms, how do we find you? Where would you send people? What are your handles? How do people find out and check out these knives?
It's pretty easy. Tap Forge.
Tap Forge. And it's Forge is spelled probably funky.
F-O-R-G-E.
Okay. I'm not a good speller. So when I hear something that sounds like that, right? Like, what's another hard word to spell? Scissors. Do you know how to spell...
I do not.
Okay, Jana, you're up.
S-C-I-S-S-O-R-S.
See, I'm not even sure if there's a double S, but this sounds weird to me, right?
See, I thought there was a Z in there.
Huh? Okay, Jana, I have another one for you. It's icicles.
Icicles. I-C-L-E-S.
Well, I'm not sure, but here's what it is. It's I-C-I-C-L-E-S.
Oh.
And this at an early age, my sister would try to help me be creative about memorizing things. And I was bad at spelling. So we'd take these words that I couldn't spell, and she'd put them into the little song. So I-C-I-C-L-E-S. And I think that's what she said, but I couldn't even depict the individual letters in my head. I'm going, I-C-I-C-L-E-S. At one point, and this is a random fact about the Ginger MC, is when you're in biology and you had to dissect the rat, and then you had to go and do the test on the rat, I made a rat rap, which I actually put to a back beat, and it was like, you take the subclavian down to the this, and then the aorta, and when is this, this. And so I would start at the top of the rat, and I would sing my way down... The whole thing, I'm telling you. Okay, so back to focus. What we're doing is we're talking with Tucker and Jana, and we're talking about how he is a maker. And at the end of the day, a maker is somebody who makes things. It's technically off the grid, like off digital, and it's more of a hands-on kind of thing. Although there's a lot of makers that are using technology and robots and stuff, so they're all makers. But the thing is that as a maker, how do you make that transition to an online platform? And what was natural to you in your first and foremost was Instagram. And the point is that you're able to have a combined account between your business and your personal, and that let people know who you are. It's more authentic as a maker. It's not like you're in a suit every day, but people get to know you for who you are. And I've seen your knives, and they are a little creative. They're sort of funky, and some of them look like wood, and you've got the different elements. So seeing your daily life makes that knife have its own story. And so you're combining those. On Facebook, you've got your personal page, but you were forced to get a business page because Instagram gave you the bait of getting insights on your posts. Then when you try to link your Instagram to your Facebook, it won't go with your personal, it goes to your business. And this is Facebook on the front end being confusing and on the back end trying to make a pile of money at the end of the day, because if you're going to essentially get more eyes, and I love going to social media conferences and hearing all the stats and everything. A lot of people don't know, but there are so many people on Facebook. There's about, how many billion do you think that there are on Facebook?
Probably 2.5 to 4, maybe.
I'd say right around 3 or so, right? 3 is my favorite number. And if you ever hang out with me in a situation where there's math involved, Janet, probably not your case here. I teach people how to recount. And it's like this, you count 1, 2, 3, many. Because that's just how we work, right? So back to focusing here, there are so many people on Facebook, it is impossible for you to sort of get, you can't reach everybody. And then the reach gets diminished and diminished by people that are more active and posting, and there's certain elements to your posts, video versus live video versus a picture, engagement within those posts, the frequency of the posts that feeds into an algorithm that determines what posts get shown where. And it's like if you're writing a Facebook post and you're putting it on a tree in the middle of the forest and the tree falls, nobody hears you. So they get you excited about the platform, then they will suggest, like, hey, they'll actually send you an email and they'll go, Ryan, one of your posts is outperforming your other post by 95%. And you're like, wow, it's a clickbait. I'm going to click on it. It's exciting. I'm doing well. It's not your normal notification. And then it's like, would you like to boost this post? Because it's doing well, so it might do even better. And you're like, Boost looks cool. You click on it and you're like, oh yeah, I like to target these people. And they're like, well, how much money are you going to pay? And it's crazy. Like, it's a very smart way. And at the end of the day, social media is a business. And we forget about that. We think we have this ownership. We think that we own our pictures on it. But no. So there was my makers making it work rant about social media. Facebook, hashtag make it simple. And well, you can make all the money you want. That's fine. But from a maker perspective, you've got to choose these platforms. You're using it to showcase your story. And you don't like Twitter, so it's all good.
It's not that I don't like Twitter. I'm not a natural writer.
Okay.
And so I misspell everything.
You and I, again, this is another thing.
And so I always am self-conscious when I post on Twitter.
Right.
So I'll post a picture on Twitter every once in a while, but I know that's not really a thing for Twitter. I mean, I know it can be done.
Right. Do you know that there's a video component?
I did not know there's a video component to it now.
Okay, so there you go. Twitter has a video component. And just like any, I posted an Oscar Wilde quote the other day. It said, everything popular is wrong. It's got a bunch of controversy either way. Eventually, everything that is popular becomes unpopular. And if you're always doing what is popular, then you don't necessarily stick out. So this might be an opportunity for you to go, the same videos that you're already making.
Right.
Imagine posting it natively on Twitter. I'm not a big fan of click to push to Twitter, because secretly it always brings you back to that platform. And if somebody's not on that platform, it's like weird.
Right.
It got weird. So using your existing videos, you could make tweets, and like, I challenge you to just put, like, you could just put hashtag knife story or something like that.
Right.
Come up with a hashtag or something, and you could be the guy whose only tweets are just a hashtag, or like, there's this fact that the less you say, the more profound you become. And so you could be like this mysterious knife guy based on what you're saying. I don't know. And then you're reusing some of the content and people might get excited about it.
And you bring up a very valid point, and that's hashtags in general. And I think that's something that a lot of makers are a little overwhelmed by and intimidated
by. Or confused about, right?
Or confused about,
yeah. So on the show, we have this thing called the GTO. And it is the grandma timeout. Could be the grandpa timeout as well. Love for both grandma and grandpa. Big shout out. And if you haven't called your grandma or grandpa today, make the effort, make the call, because it's very important. So pretend that you're calling your grandma today, and you have to explain, is it going to be him or her that you're calling?
It's going to be him.
Okay. So call and explain to him what a hashtag is, like in the most basic sense, because I still think people across the board are confused about it. So GTO, hashtag.
Hi, Grandpa.
Hello.
Hi, son. What's up?
No, I said hashtag. No. What a hashtag is a conversation. And there's conversations happening all around us. And if we want to become part of that conversation, we include a hashtag. And so there's already a running conversation that may be knife stories, like you mentioned earlier, or maybe knife addict, or maybe handmade knife, or custom forged. All these are current conversations that are being had. And what you're doing with a hashtag is you're tapping into a conversation that previously exists. And so you're putting your information or your content into a pile of other people's content to be possibly seen. And the way that shakes out on Instagram
is because it's different on other platforms, right?
It is. On every platform. Okay. Yes.
Okay. So take a couple examples. So from what I'm saying, and I'll ditch my grandpa voice because I'm better at the grandma voice than the grandpa voice, is that this idea of a conversation that you're either in or out of based on this term that would connect them all.
Yes.
Okay.
It's like a keyword.
It's like a keyword. Okay. And you know, back in my day, it was a Dewey Decimal System, right? So like this little card that you have to go find and whatnot. So it's a tracking number.
Right.
It's a tracking number. It's a tracking number for a conversation. That's kind of cool. So let's say you're having a conversation on Twitter and you either want to get involved or want to bring people into and track your conversation. How do hashtags work on Instagram?
How hashtags work on Instagram is very similar to how they work on Twitter. They conglomerate all this data. And then depending on how much of that data has been viewed, how much of that data has been liked, how much engagement there is. And these are all some of the metrics that you get with the insights.
Okay.
So you have to have the insight to see how much of engagement you're getting. But if you don't have those insights, you can still see whether you're getting the engagements, because if you actually go in and type in that hashtag, there will be a box at the top. And those are the top hashtags. And so it'll be the top posts within that hashtag. And
the ones that have the most engagement.
The
most people talking about that conversation on
that time.
At the time on that tracking number.
Not necessarily the most popular ones.
Okay.
But the most engagement. So I often make it to that top box with one of my posts. It doesn't live there.
Right.
Now, a very famous maker, like I have a friend named Nick Wheeler. Nick Wheeler Knives and Newfies. He posts very similar to me, a lot about his dogs, a lot about his hobbies, and a lot about his knives. And they're drop-dead gorgeous. A lot of times, his stuff is so good, it lives at the top of the post.
Right.
It never drops.
And that's because people are engaging with that post. And
he's
including that hashtag into it, so it sort of gets sucked up into the vortex.
Right.
Okay.
Now, there's good and bad with hashtags. So what if I can never be seen in my hashtag?
And how would that happen? Just because you're
Instagram or Instafamous or follow. These are hashtags that have been so overused,
right,
that it's just a gavage of knowledge that no one is going to be able to swallow.
Right.
So as that happens, there's so much extra data, or it's happening so fast, that pictures are going up there so fast that you just get buried. So you want to make sure that you're using hashtags that are definitely representative of what you're posting,
okay,
but also somewhat unique. Sometimes you'll even see individuals come up with totally unique, brand new hashtags. It's like, well, what's the point of that? That's not even a real conversation.
Right.
Well, it's like starting a conversation.
Okay. Do you have your own hashtags? Like for you.
I do. I have a hashtag #TapForge.
Okay.
And so a lot of my stuff that if I really like it, I'll make sure to put that hashtag there. So if anyone ever, what was that guy's name again? And they start typing it in, they may find the hashtag before they find my username.
That's a good point. I haven't heard that as a solid point for a hashtag conversation. You know, when your handle is at tforgew dot, no, there's no dots, and I was trying to think of how to include your cat in that one, and it just didn't work. Then it's like, what is that? And also, you can put a different name than your handle. So I recently had a difficult time finding somebody because I knew her name, and I even searched the name, but then it didn't link back up to what her actual handle was. So if you have a hashtag that you own or are associated with, for me, it's hashtag GingerMC. It's my radio DJ name. It's what I use when I'm at events. It's what actually is in my name. It says Ryan Follin, hashtag GingerMC, like on my my name. So for me, people might not remember Ryan Follin, or they for some reason think my name is Roland. Like, I swear, my name is Ryan Follin, and it just somehow comes back with Roland, right? It's just it's like a mash. So, but they can, I reinforce, just search GingerMC. And because it's unique and the gingers out there are the most underrepresented minority of everyone, okay? But at the same time, I think ginger is a state of mind, so there is a chance as more people adopt the ginger nation. But that's a great point. So you could say, don't worry about finding my name. It's look up TapForge.
Right.
And then it shows social proof because you're just saying it's almost like a Google me.
Yes, very much
hashtag
so.
Me.
Very
we
much
just,
so.
We just made up hashtag me. So as there's more users online, you can be like, you know, just hashtag me.
Right.
In fact, hashtag Google search me. Boom. That's the ultimate personal branding pitch right there. Your card is just a hashtag. And you hand it to him. There's nothing else. That's actually good. I'm going to make business cards with just hashtag GingerMC and just a really cheap to make and just hand them out. And I bet you the more people that just are driven to that, there's a better chance they might like it, follow or whatnot, which increases the engagement. And I just really hope that other gingers don't get that much traction out there. No. You guys, ginger pride, ginger love. So this is a really interesting concept on hashtags to be found on Instagram. Now, my question is, how many hashtags on Instagram? Because that seems to be a going debate. Pop quiz, Jana, do you know how many, and if you don't know, I'm not trying to throw you under the bus here. I'm just trying to involve you in the conversation. Do you know how many hashtags you can put on an Instagram post?
I have no idea. Social media is not like riding a bike. I think I stopped using it very much in 2009, and everything changed.
Yeah.
So.
Well, so this is a cool point. It's not that you don't know. It's just that a lot of people don't know. And Tucker here has all four fingers on his mouth, and he's trying to think. Is it something? Do you know how many?
I'm gonna want to say around 20, but it could be a little more.
It is more.
I remember when it was 10.
Okay.
But they did extend it.
Okay, so it's more than 20. What's your next guess?
Then probably not 50. It can't.
Not 50. Higher than 20, lower than 50.
30.
Yes, that's right. Congratulations. Yay. Jana's a big winner. So 30 hashtags you can use. And sometimes people from the outside, if they don't understand hashtags, are like, oh, this looks aggressive, right?
Bingo.
And on the other side, if you don't use 30, you're not going to be seen as much. And it's like you have an Instagram post that's posted onto a tree in the middle of a forest that falls and nobody's around to see it. There's a couple tricks that I've seen and I use for hashtags. Maybe this is something you can adopt or your opinion on it. But if I have a stick figure drawing and then I'll have my little blurb, and then instead of just packing on the 30 hashtags, I'll do a star, enter, star, enter, star, enter. And then push it down a little bit. So at the fold, it doesn't come across aggressive. The other way, which is interesting, and I believe it still works, you just post your normal thing with maybe one hashtag, right? GingerMC, hashtag Sharpie Art, for whatever. Then you go back and you make the first comment on your post. And then the comment on the post, you just go, hashtag it up, hashtag, 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 right? I think it would take about a minute to say hashtag 30 times. Not to get sidetracked, but I'm in the development of a new app called the Clap app. And the reason I bring it up, I was thinking, how fast can you say the word hashtag? It's kind of like a challenge. But how many times can you clap in a 10-second period? That's what I want to know. And are you a faster clapper than somebody next to you? So it's a Clap app. It's being developed where you clap over it, and it is like an odometer or pedometer, but for claps. So you can challenge people, like, I bet you I can clap faster than you can, or maybe there's going to be a more accurate than you can. And it's also going to come with a clap-o-meter, because I'm on stage a lot doing emceeing, so I can, like, you know, real-time gauging. And I'm going to do tutorials, because I have about 15 different clapping technologies that you can use to fight a real thing, which is applause fatigue.
Applause fatigue.
You ever been in an event, you're like, yay, and then yay, and then yay, and you're like, gosh, I hope this person next to me keeps clapping because I'm over it. But as I digress, but let's go back to the hashtags. What you can also do, and this might be an interesting test for you, you know, nobody looks past your grid, right? The grid is your 9 pictures. Like, yeah, maybe I want to load more, but they don't really go that much further. And I'm assuming you've got tons of posts.
Oh, yeah.
How many posts do you have?
Let me look.
Okay, check it out.
Yeah, I think around 1,000-something, but okay. let's check it out.
1,000-something. We're all about accuracy on this show, so we'll take 1,000-something as perfect. So here's the deal. You have somebody, or yourself, it's easier if it's somebody, and this is a great play for a virtual assistant or somebody who, you know, wants to support you, that's there for you, that loves you, maybe like a wife, and maybe to get her you know, excited and on the bike of the social media, and a very, very basic task. Go back to your first post and comment on it with 30 hashtags.
Now, I think there is a limit on how old the post is and the commenting on hashtags and having it revive.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
See, that's where I wasn't sure. But I used to, I've done this before where I've gone back and reposted, or not reposted, but done hashtags to sort of revive. But I'm always ears.
Now, because I've tried it before as well,
okay.
Or on someone else's posts that I thought they had something really good, and I noticed that they didn't apply accurate hashtags or hashtags that could be helping them as much.
Gotcha, okay.
And so I threw in a couple hashtags in
hashtag,
there.
Hashtag help.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
And it didn't perform as it should have. They didn't end up in the new hashtag section of the hashtags.
Hashtag sucks.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I didn't know if it was the age of their post
or
it was because I was another commenter and not the original commenter.
So this brings up a point that things are always changing.
Always.
And it's good to test out and sort of poke buttons and do things, and there's always betas being run. Verification was just for The Rock and a couple other people, and then it became somebody for celebrities, and then it became for people who had a certain, and then it kept rolling out, and now it's there. Now everybody has Facebook Live, but guess what? There was Facebook Live a long time ago. You just didn't have access to it. So as you're looking for features and functions on these platforms, try to be creative with it. Last sort of plug on the Instagram topic for this. Do you ever repost?
All the time. Now,
GTO repost.
Reposting is going to be when I take somebody else's content that I think is very valuable and or funny to my situation, and I repost that, or I take something that's very old that I want to revive, and then I'll repost it as a throwback.
Gotcha. Okay. Hashtag Throwback Thursday.
Right.
Which is
or
like...
Or Turnback Tuesday.
Turnback Tuesday? I haven't heard about Turnback Tuesday. But that's great, because honestly, I like wait for Thursdays just so I have an excuse to like pull something up from the past. But with Turnback Tuesdays?
Flashback Fridays.
Oh my God. See, this is why I'm so excited about this show, is because I learn with each show.
Oh, I was just going to say, even I knew about Flashback Friday.
Well, I never said I knew anything. I just said I was a ginger, okay? Let's set the record straight here. So hashtags on Instagram can be complex, but it's useful. And now we know we can put 30 up there. Do you have a magic number that you use that works for you, that you like?
A handful.
A handful, okay.
Perfect. I don't do 30 anymore. I used to.
Okay.
And when I was really trying to build my audience more and I was a little more active in it, I would use more. But now... I think that a lot of people that come to my page organically or come to my feed through friends and other friends do see 30 as aggressive.
Yeah.
Even if I do push it down, they see it as a little aggressive, or that I'm really trying to sell something.
Right.
Whether it's myself and my cat or whether it's my knives.
I'm really questioning the number of hashtags that I'm using now. I'm like self-reflecting.
Well, so I keep it between 5 and 10.
Okay.
As long as they're relevant.
Do you use the same? Because I use the same ones over and over. Like
sometimes, but I tweak them.
Okay.
So I used to have a sticky note on my phone with probably 25 to 30, and then I would change a handful of them as relevant to the post. Now I only do the handful that's relevant to the post because Instagram has this nice memory feature where if you hit hashtag in the first couple letters, your most recent hashtags will come back up.
I wish I had more control over which ones, though, because I have stick figure art, selfie, Sharpie art. So I'll do hashtag S, and I'm like, ooh, but it's kind of a random. But that is good. Also, I think they used to do it, or I don't know if I see anymore, when you start to type a hashtag, it guesses it, and it shows you the volume of the hashtag. Like, that this one has 1.7 million, or this one has 10, or you see a misspelled one that has a large number 2, but you know that they just misspelled it. Do you put any weight in that, in the reference? Or are you saying that the more it's out there, or you just don't even care about that?
You know, I used to care about it, and I used to actually track on my own which hashtags were more globally represented and stuff like that. But there's two ways to see that. You're going into a conversation that's already kind of monopolized by a lot of people.
Right.
And then, but you want to be in a very active conversation as well.
Yeah.
So if your content is really going to stick out, if it's one of my best, if it's something that I'm so proud of, I really want it to be out there.
Yeah.
Then I will. Then I'll use a foodie. Foodie is one that's very big.
Right.
And so I don't use it for every kitchen knife I make. But if I make a kitchen knife and it's set in a scene where I'm cutting on my cutting board or something like that, yeah, I might use foodie.
Throw it in there.
Okay. And it's a bigger audience, but I do often get a couple home chefs or other people from that audience.
Now, transitioning to Facebook, it's not really a hashtag platform, right?
Not at all.
Yeah, okay. So, again, Grandpa needs to know this, right? Because if you're hashtagging it up on Facebook, people will be like, excuse me? what are you doing, right? I'm not the biggest Facebook fan because it just sucks all of my time away. And so I recently made my personal one private. And then I've now started doing my stick figure quotes on my business or my public profile page. But it's just more of an outbound. And I tell people all the time, it shouldn't be just an outbound. You have to have this engagement. So the only time I'm on Facebook is to react to people who have engaged with me. But I'm like, I'm the laziest Facebooker out there. I just don't. Yeah. So it's okay. If you are a lazy Facebooker, then that's okay. There's actually a study done, I think a year ago, but I heard it on the radio, to where I think Notre Dame or another notable, well, other than UCI, one of the another university, where they did a study of all the users, and they determined that there's four types of Facebook users, right? One that was on there to show off, one that was on there to people watch, one that was on there to connect with family. They classified it, and I felt really good that I was named in there, somebody who's on there to sort of see what's going on, but it's not I don't feel pressure to use it. Here's a quick side topic. Balancing your life, your personal life, your maker life, your business life, dealing with your cat, like all these things, it takes time to put these posts together. What do you struggle with when it comes to that time management? Because for me, it's like 10:30 at night. I'm like, crap, I haven't drawn my thing yet. Oh, I have to do this. And then it's like that or Jon Stewart. And then I watch Jon Stewart and then I draw it. And then it's 12 and then there's this sort of episode. So I try to think, like, if this is really stressing me out, then I'm just not going to do it that day. But then there's this like guilt, and then I know people are expecting me, and like, you say you do it every single day. Well, I do, but I was really tired that day. So how do you deal with that element to it?
I don't make promises.
Okay.
That's the first part.
I like that. It's hard for me to say I'm not going to do it every day, because saying that I'm going to do it every day is what creates the distraction momentum.
Right.
Okay. So to have less stress in social media, stop promising that you're going to do certain things, but don't underestimate the value of consistency. I'll throw that out there.
Right. But also remember that everyone realizes it is just social media.
I don't think everybody does. No, but I think there are people that really understand that, and a lot of people that don't. So you have this like mix. And I think as you're building a business, especially if it's like you're an entrepreneur, and it's different than say, like, you know, I'm working at UCI raising money, and here's where I use social for business, but when I get home, I can just, you know, do whatever kind of thing. Like, I have people who post the stupidest stuff on Facebook. I'm like, why would you do that? People see that, and they're like, I don't care. It's just social media. Like, it's not, like, who cares? And it's kind of a reminder, right? So it is a good reminder that sometimes, like, I'll ask people all the time, especially, why are you on social media, right? And most of the time, the answer is, do you want to guess what the answer would be? Why are you on social media? And you might be able to answer and guess it. Like, why are you on social media? This is like the question I should ask everybody.
I feel like I have to be.
Okay, that's a legitimate answer. How about you?
Because everyone else is.
Okay, the most typical answer I hear is because it's fun. And maybe it's from a younger demographic. I feel like I enjoy elements of it, but I really enjoy, like, my passion is sharing communication tools that can change people's lives, and therefore it's an extension of that message. But don't forget that a lot of people that are on social media are just doing it for fun, like to get a giggle out of a GIF, hashtag GIF giggle, you know, sharing something you're proud of, or just connecting with family. So many people are on it just to connect with family. So I think that it's an interesting point. Realize that that it is just social media. Right, but we put so much pressure on it.
When I think the social media platforms, they help push that pressure.
Yeah, notification, get notified, bing, 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 bing. I just connected. I have a new phone, the S8, which I love, and I just connected Periscope because I'll do that every once in a while. Do you know about Periscope?
Yeah.
Okay, that's Twitter sort of too, right? You know that?
Yeah, I guess they're connected, right?
So you could your Twitter-ness could basically just be Periscoping if you ever want people to see the live stuff, right? But where was it getting at? So Periscope, it automatically sets you up for all the notifications. So it's like, I'm like, what is that? Who's whistling at me? This person's going live. It's like, it's a constant barrage. How do you deal with your notifications? Are they on or off or custom?
They were off until Instagram kept notifying me to turn them on. They notified me to turn them on every single day for about 3 weeks, and finally I turned them on. And it is a little bit of a barrage, but it does remind me to stay engaged with it a bit. So when I do have a little more off time, instead of a calculated time to do it where I might have another conflict and I'm sitting in the doctor's office and it whistles at me, I can quickly add a post or quickly reply to a post or do something like that. But a lot of the times I leave my notifications off because they are way too much.
Yeah, and I have a similar story where I just went, screw this, everybody, I'm just turning everything off. And then I found that when I went in, I was kind of like bombarded, like, whoa, I have all these people to follow up with. So LinkedIn, for example, I, you know, when you get a new phone, you download all the apps and it resets all your settings. So you have this, like, you know, chance to do it. And I left some of the LinkedIn ones on, but I'm reducing them now. I don't care when somebody follows me, when they accept something, but when they make a comment on my post, that's the most important for me, and I'll jump in and I'll like it and I'll comment back. So I think getting notified when there's engagement is good, but not when there's a new follower, not when there's a new post, not when somebody else liked the post that I liked, and it's like, holy moly macaroni, put this macaroni in and cut it with a knife. So what is the brand name? What is your brand name? It's Tucker Forge?
Tap Forge. Which is just my initials.
Oh.
I wanted to keep it simple. I had a long time ago, I had started a media company for photography and videography.
Okay.
And I had gone with my own creation, Malaprop Media, because I'm known for malapropisms.
Yeah, and I'm not going to spell that.
And which is actually a made-up word,
really?
Malaprop. Yeah, from a play.
Huh.
Miss Malaprop was, she kept pronouncing everything wrong. Anyway, that's,
she was bad. Sounds like she was bad with the props.
Right.
little Latin for 4 years, and I don't speak it. I just sort of pretend like I'm interested in where words come from every once in a while. No, I really am. I love communication. Things start as thoughts, and then they become words, and words become things. So think good thoughts. Same thing probably happens with the metal and the forging and the steel.
Oh yeah.
Right. Now, we've talked about Instagram and how there's value in merging your business and your personal together. A handful of hashtags is enough, and it's a matter of updating to where you feel like you're representing that you are in business and that you're active, but that it's not your entire life. And so if you're too aggressive on the posting, if you're too aggressive on the hashtags, it might seem like you're selling yourself or you're selling a product or you're doing something that disconnects you from somebody there. With Facebook, you've got your personal, you've got your business, you kind of are stuck with those two. Sometimes you'll double post, but it seems like there's still a division of church and state. And Twitter, we might inspire you to use videos or Periscope, because as a fellow person who can't spell, I love Twitter because it's a little puzzle for me. How can I get something of value in the shortest amount of words? And don't worry about 140. Try to do it in 10 or try to do it in one word. One of the things on Twitter that's fun is there will be hashtags that trend, say like hashtag yourself in 5 words. And then everybody tweets back with that hashtag, crazy ginger likes to sail, right? And so it's like this idea of a haiku and less can be more. So that might be an interesting strategy for you. Other platforms that you're on that you're finding success with, or are those kind of main ones your main game?
Those are my main game. And I'd like to go back and address the Instagram. Posting now is more.
Okay.
There is not too much posting.
Okay. Actually, yeah, I've asked people.
That's changed.
That has changed. Really? Okay. So what is an ideal, I don't know, an ideal number of posts on Instagram per day?
There isn't an ideal anymore.
Okay.
It's more or less as many as you want to post. So if you want to grow your following, post, 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 post. And that's part of their new logarithm.
Huh.
And that's because the more posts you have, the more engagement it shows. So,
and they're going to prefer your pictures if
over
more
someone
engagement.
Who maybe has a better picture, better content, but over less time.
Gotcha.
So if you have a more constant post per time, you're going to be shown before somebody who maybe has more likes on their post.
Hmm.
Which it didn't used to be like that. It used to be whoever had more likes on their post would be shown first.
Right.
But they've changed that.
Okay, speaking of change, let's stay on this Instagram thing. What are your thoughts on Instagram stories?
I use them sometimes.
Okay, wait. GTO, Instagram stories.
Okay, there we go. Instagram stories is basically a way for Instagram to steal the market away from Snapchat.
Okay, GTO Snapchat. You're going to get yourself into trouble here if you're using words within the GTOs.
Okay. Snapchat is a way for individuals to send stuff that's embarrassing that they want to disappear.
Okay. Okay, and so now Instagram is giving you the option to do that on their platform.
Yes.
Okay.
And another great thing about that in Instagram, and I was dealing with an organization that wanted me to be their administrator for Instagram, and that was the American Bladesmith organization.
Oh, okay.
They're a little stodgy, though.
Wait, what is GTO stodgy?
Oh, they're old and are very afraid of the internet.
Okay, stodgy. I like that. Hashtag stodgy. I'm going to search that one.
So they're really afraid that somebody could post a bad comment.
Right.
And then it's going to live on the internet forever.
Do you know that you can actually delete comments?
Yes.
I didn't know that. I had somebody post something as like, it was just like a bully post. And I text him, I'm like, will you please take that down? Like, I feel offended. And he's like, why don't you just delete it, dude? And I was like, oh my God, you can delete it. So that's crazy.
You can even now go into advanced settings when you post and disallow comments.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Change. Okay, so Instagram stories lets you do embarrassing stuff. Do you use it?
Yes and no. I use the live feed action of it.
Oh, okay.
So I will do live feeds.
That's the newest, right?
Yes. Okay. And that's pretty fun because you do get people want to see what you're doing right now.
Right. It's not Latestagram. It's right. Instagram.
Exactly. And there's this authenticity built into that. I didn't edit the post. I didn't tweak it together. I didn't speed it up. I didn't slow it down and add music. So it's so raw and real.
Cool.
People really
like
that. And
it's a live stream. You click it and then it goes. Yes, Miss Jana, we missed talking to you.
Yes, sorry. So I was just going to comment on the live feed because I actually know about that. Tucker gets a lot of makers. Obviously, bladesmiths are kind of rare, so they're all over the nation. And they come and watch the live feed, and they ask questions while he's doing a demo, and he actually stops and will answer the question. A lot of people glean a lot of knowledge from it. They'll share, you know, hey, why don't you do this next? And he actually does it. The reason I know this is because he was late for dinner one day, and I was like, I bet he's on it live, and then it showed me logging in.
Did you?
And I did a comment. I said, it's time for dinner, and then all his little bladesmith friends were like, ooh.
That's hilarious. That's good. Okay, that's really funny. Yes.
And I've also eaten up all my data on live feeds before. So
how much data do you go? What is your data plan for your phone?
My data plan is 10 gigs.
I got 12. Oh, yes. The day would never, I never thought the day would come where I'm like, you know, trying to one up ball somebody on a data usage. It's like, oh, that's great. I wish I had unlimited, but that's no, seems like a dream now.
Right?
Yeah. So Instagram stories, you like the live part. It's, what about all the new stickers? Like it, you know, so here for Snapchat, GTO Snapchat, you could also push on your face and it figures out where your eyes, your mouth, your nose is, and it could put ears on you. You lick and it looks like a big dog mouth. I don't know why that one is so popular, but it's like everybody does it. Dogs or cats, I'm assuming cat people?
Yeah, both. We love them all.
Okay.
We like animals.
But these face filters were like, oh my gosh, I can make myself look like I'm underwater. Oh my gosh, I can, like, it was instant coolness on what would normally be a 10-second selfie-facing video that could be super lame. And now, Instagram has pulled that over.
So is Facebook.
So is Facebook, that's right, on their messengers and stuff.
Yep.
Like that. Well, because there is, I'm sorry, see, I'm not the Facebooker, but Facebook has its own ripped-off Snapchat, ripped-off Instagram. I guess Facebook owns Instagram.
Right, they do.
So that makes sense that they are the ultimate stealers out there. But, wow, it's kind of discouraging for all the tech entrepreneurs that think that they're going to come up with the next app with the next sort of crazy technology piece that might just be gobbled.
Or they're excited to be bought out for billions of dollars from Facebook.
Right, yes. This also is amazing. Well, we've got probably about 2 minutes left here, and two minutes is the only best set of numbers besides 3 minutes, because I'm obsessed with three. And my number's three, like my numerology number. Do you guys know that that's a thing? So you have, I want to say mythology, but astrology, right? And you have a numerology. And if you ever meet somebody who's a numerologist, craziest thing in the world, all you do is give them your birth date, and they sit there and they do this crazy math, and they're like, you are a three. And then a three has its own, like I'm a Leo, and I know what a Leo is, and I am a Leo. Ryan Lion is what they called me, and my name Ryan means little king, so it only makes sense, right? Like Simba or something. But your number actually is a reflection a lot of times of like your character and what you are. So find out what your number is. But now that I've eaten up a minute of our 2 minutes, we have like a minute left, but that's okay. What are your final thoughts on why makers or people who are making from earrings to necklaces on Etsy to their own crafts and stuff, why should they care about being on social media? And, you know, maybe an encouragement for those people that hate social media to give it a shot.
No matter which way you turn it, no matter which way you look at it, you need people to know you're out there. You need to be advertising yourself and putting your best foot forward. Otherwise, you don't get customers. Word of mouth is not good enough anymore. And
well, I like that quote. Word of mouth is not good enough. I might steal that and give you credit for it on a stick figure drawing.
That sounds good for
me. Okay, keep going. So word of mouth is not good enough.
And this is the easiest way. It's free. It's accessible. And it's easy. This is meant for the layman. It's not meant for the technical person.
Hmm.
In fact, a lot of techie people get frustrated with it.
Right, because it's maybe too low-tech for them, right?
Right. So this is your access point to the rest of the world.
Gotcha. And for that reason, you should be online. You don't have to be on all platforms. You don't even have to participate a lot. Just join the movement, jump on, and guess what? If you like knives, then search hashtag
TapForge.
Hashtag TapForge. And check out his crazy knives. If they had a website, is it going to be TapForge.com?
TapForge-.com.
Okay.
Someone else had the other one.
Damn them. Say that again. So we got
TapForge.com.
Gotcha. All right. Well, maybe this is where the hashtag's easier, right?
Yes.
Because they'll find you out there. Find them on whatever platform seems to make sense for you. This is Ryan here at KUCI. I hope you have enjoyed the show. 88.9 FM live and streaming around the world. For all of you out there who like fire, sharp objects, and cats with a personality, okay, let's we'll see everybody online. So how about on the count of three, we'll say use more knives. How about that? Because this is going to help you in your business. One, two, three.
Use more knives.
And be safe with fire. That's what Smokey says. All right, we'll see you next week, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ginger MC signing out.
Something told me it was over.